wife this earlier this morning, you know, talking about how quiet and she is. But I'm going to tell a little bit on her here as we get this thing coming up. But I was sitting in the other room and I was studying, and I think she got a phone call or she called somebody, but I heard her on the phone. She had a speakerphone on, and I heard her say, "Well, how you doing?" Then she says, "I said, how you doing?" And the person, "I'm doing fine." She said, "I said, how you doing?" And I said, "Uh-oh." I said, "We're just ready, about ready to have some ministry up in here." She is awesome when it comes to touching people's lives and hearts. And she's the best thing next to Jesus that ever happened to me. Amen. Amen. You know, we're talking about evangelism. Well, she led me to the Lord. Amen. And I love her so much. She is my brown sugar. She's my sweetheart. Amen. She's a powerful woman of God. She's a great mother to our four sons, a great mother-in-law to our daughter-in-laws and a grandmother. And they call her G-Mommy, and they call me Poppy. But anyone in my church or surrounding, a lot of church people call me Apostle, but the ones that know me call me Pops. I'm Pops, and I'm Pops here. Amen. And we're just family, amen? And God is doing new, amen, in the kingdom of God. And we have seen the church has been upside down. The leadership has ruled from the top instead of from the bottom up. The apostolic and leadership, I'm going to get to my message in a minute, are foundational gifts. And foundations are on the bottom, not on the top. Amen. And men have got to the place where, you know, kiss my hand. and rule and oppress. When leadership is on top, it suffocates those underneath. When a foundation sits on a house, the house will crumble. And God is changing things. Things are beginning to move. Amen. And there is one law that will get it all. Amen. God came and sent his son to give us a much better and more excellent way. Amen. There is a more excellent way. And the church started out in that most excellent way. But somehow men got in the middle of it. And it turned around because men want all the praise to themselves. But God says, love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Amen. And there's something about that that changes our atmosphere, changes our life, changes everything around us. When we know how to love God, we'll change everything. Amen. Amen. I love the law. I tell you, I love the Ten Commandments. When people say, well, that's done away with, we don't have to do it. I said, look, I love the law of God. Right. Amen. The law of God, people say it was inadequate. But was it inadequate? Jesus functioned all his days on the earth under the law. Right. He fulfilled the law. He did everything the law was called out to do. He fulfilled every Ten Commandments. Amen. And he knew that we couldn't. But he came to do it for us. Amen? And that's what we're going to get into today. We're going to look at this thing. Because how many of you love the law? Amen? If you don't love the law, maybe you need to find another religion. Because it is God's word. Amen. If you don't like the law, you don't like God. Amen. You know, we got this sloppy grace going around. Yes. I mean, there's a sloppy grace being taught. Right. You know, God holds us to a higher accountability. Yes. And the church has brought us down to a place where we're at a lower accountability. We can do what we want because we already repented. We never have to repent again. We can sin as much as we want to. Let me tell you, grace did not give me an opportunity to sin. Grace has given me the power and the authority to do the will of God, to do the commandments that He's commanded me to do. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And we got to get to that place once again as a church, the body of Christ. Moving in that place where we love the law and stop saying that we're not under the law. We're not under the curse of the law. We're still under the law, but we're not under the curse of the law. The law, if you try to live the law, you will die. The curse of the law, if you fail one law, you will die. And every man on the earth was dying. Till Jesus came along and fixed it for us. Woo, I love my Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God on in highest. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. My rubber band's tight. I'm going to try to slow down. But if I get going again, you know, just pull me on in. Amen. I'm trying to be like Dr. Smiley. We spent some great time together up in Ketchikan. And I tell you what, his name is Smiley, but I said, man, he's Dr. Smiley. Everybody in my church knows about Dr. and Mrs. Smiley. Amen. They've been a perfect host to us while we've been here, staying at their home. They got a lovely home, and you guys are just such a blessing. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Glory. All right, well, let's get into the scripture here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 38. See, I'm not one that preaches long, but I preach hard. Amen. Sometimes we say we got to preach so many hours or hours, 2 hours. But you know, you can preach 5 seconds, amen, and someone gets saved. Amen. All you got to do is speak God's word. Amen. Sometimes we go too long in the anointing list because God already wanted to do something. We want to be on us, you know, come on. So we're just going to follow God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. When they heard that the Pentecostals silenced the Baptists, the Methodists came around. Yeah, they on our side. So they thought Jesus was on their side. So then one of the lawyers... One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. How many of you tested Jesus? I test his word almost every day. Amen. It tests me. We want to get, don't get pious up here on me. Amen. See, the church, we got to be vulnerable. Amen. Anything that you hide, the enemy is going to take it. Because he can't work in the light. So everything's hidden in darkness. So can we be open today? Yes. That's one thing about Point of Hope. We're just an open group. Amen. And you can come here and just let your hair down. And you can. I heard her sing that Jane Brown song. I said, she said, she's too close to Augusta. We're a family, aren't we? Praise God. Because some of the things I might say might be a little hard, but God spoke to me in ways that was hard. Amen. That comfort me. Made me whole. Made me righteous. Hallelujah. Because I heard him. Amen. So are we ready? All right. And he asked him the question, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." The title of my message is One Law, Get It All. Call 1-800-LOVE-YOUR-LORD-GOD with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can have it all. Amen. All right. Hebrews 8:6. It says, but Jesus had now obtained a more excellent ministry. And he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted through a better promise. Jesus has come to give us a better covenant. It didn't say that he came to destroy the covenant. He came to make a better covenant. Amen? How many know God's word is not bad? It is good. So he had to come not to say that it was bad. It was bad because we couldn't keep it. But it was good because it was God's word. So he had to come to make it better. To make it better, he had to fix it for we can... Amen. God didn't want any man to perish. Amen. You know, I always look at God's love like the atmosphere. It's all around us. We breathe it, breathe air in. But if I stop breathing, I die. A dead man can't breathe air. A dead man can't breathe God's love. Not that we say God loves us. God does love us. But does all of us receive God's love?
That's right.
See, that's all right. God loves you. But there has to be a trigger. To everything, there's a trigger. When you was in the military, setting off our ordnance, you just didn't go off by itself, did it? You had to have a trigger. You had to have something to cause the thing to ignite. Amen. You know, a nuclear bomb is nothing until there's a trigger. Amen. It's there. Amen. Something has to cause it to take off. And what causes God's love to come into us? God loves the whole world. If he loves the whole world, how come the whole world's not going to heaven? Like Dr. Smiley says, you know, Jesus ain't got all your backs. he doesn't. He loves us. But there's something that has to trigger that. And that is the love that you have for the Father. Amen. There has to be a love for the Father. People don't know how to love God. Man, when I tell you what, when I found out what Jesus did for me, something began to trigger in me. And when I received him as Christ, I had to learn how to love him. Amen. See, I took a first step. And all of a sudden I start. How many remember when the day you got saved? Did you feel the love of God come on you?
Yes.
You know that love of God was all around you before that happened?
That's right.
It was right there. It's like the air. It's always surrounded. Everybody on the earth has the love of God all around them.
Right.
Amen. But you don't feel it till you do something. Mm. You know, we're saved by grace, but grace cannot be activated until we activate it.
Right.
It will not activate on itself. But how did I find out how to activate it? My parents, my dad was a brilliant man. He was a Tuskegee Airman. My mother, she was a sweet mother. She was tough. Amen. And they didn't go to church, but they would send me to Sunday school. But my gang, we would hook up and go run down the alleys and do what we wanted to and smoke cigars. Roatan's what it was. But we wouldn't go to church, you know. But I didn't know who Jesus was. I had no clue who he was. And I grew up, came a young man. I went to church, and I remember when at my grandmother's funeral, I cried. I don't know why I cried. And in my uncle's funeral, but I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what he preached about. I didn't hear anything. I didn't want to know anything about God. All I wanted was my 40 acres and my mule. It was black power. I carried my gun, want my 40 acres and mule. I didn't care about anything. And when I met my wife, she said, "What do you believe in?" I said, "My people, baby." And our first argument was over basically the blood of Jesus. She says, "Well, you can't have him, you can't have me." I got my car mad. I drove 60 miles back to Indiana. Got there and turned around and drove 60 miles back. Went to, y'all, you young people don't know what a payphone is, but went to a payphone. And called her. She thought I was in Indiana. "Honey, I think I believe." But a long story short, in 6 months, we were married. My firstborn was born a year later. And February 26, 1973, right? 72. And the Lord spoke to me. The first time I ever heard the Lord speak to me, said, "Have your firstborn dedicated to me." I never raised in a church. I didn't know what that meant. Michelle started telling me, "We got to have him dedicated." So I called this Baptist pastor that I knew. I used to go over his house, see his daughter, make fun of what they believed in. I said, "I'll call him. He won't come." See, I knew it was Jesus, but I still was hardened in my heart. And so I called him. He was at the house within an hour. Dedicated my son to the Lord and invited us to church. And that Sunday, we went to church that Sunday morning. I didn't even know what he preached on. I had no clue what was going on. All I knew, I got up out of that pew and I hit it, ran crying to the altar. And the first thing they said to me was, "What do you want? Confession of faith, pen and letter?" I didn't know what they're talking about. I said, "Well, if I want my son to grow up right, I need to be right." So the preacher said, "Make a statement." I said, "I want my son to grow up right. Yeah, I need to be right." I never asked Jesus in my heart. I never repented of my sins. I became a trustee in that church. And they loved us. You know, we were professionals. And I was an engineer, and my wife, she worked for the government. We were making a lot of money, and we were tipping God, and they loved our tips. If we had tithing, then they really would love us. But we went that way for a while, and pretty soon a guy said, I start working with another guy, was consulting engineers, and he had on his card one way, and he began to talk about being, we got to be born again. So I got on the kick, you got to be born again, but never was born again. You know, I don't take for granted anybody saved. People have been in the church for years. See, it had to come to a place that one call, you got to get it all. Amen? And I had not made that call. I have not come to that place of making that call to my God, to my Father, through the Son of Jesus Christ, because no one has ever taught me. Don't take it for granted that anybody really knows the Lord. God will move on people if your life are right before God. And this man's life was before God. He was another engineer, and he kept talking about born again. So one day I asked about being born again. And so, long as me shorten it up, I wasn't going to give my testimony, but I think I will. But it was a few years later, we was went to a church in Columbus, Indiana. It was a Pentecostal church. And the pastor, we found out about the Holy Ghost and seeing people with the Holy Ghost. And they went to church, people were raising their hand, and they were all excited about God. And Michelle was loving it, and I was trying to get out of there. But I saw there was something real. There was something real. And I asked the pastor, I said, "Hey, what is this?" He said, "Come on to my office on Wednesday night. We have service Wednesday night. Come there an hour early, and we'll sit down and go through the Word." Michelle bought me a Bible 6 years before that. And I got it, and I picked it up. How many of you ever got, when you got your first Bible, and you opened up, and you went to Matthew? Let's go to New Testament. Read Matthew. Begat, 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 begat. I didn't understand begat. If I was Jewish, it would be great. Matthew was for the Jews. Amen? Because they look for the seed line. I had no idea. See, all the begats, I put it down. But the first time I picked that Bible up, we went there. And he opened it up to the book of Acts. So we started talking about the Holy Ghost. And he began to share to us about the power of the Holy Ghost, man. And I said, "Wow, this is great." And he looked up, and we were about 30 minutes into his Bible study. He said, "We need to pray." And we got up and tried to join hands and start to pray. And all of a sudden, the power of God fell on Michelle. We never seen this before. But she went out in the spirit. On the floor, her glasses came off her head, and they stopped like this in the air. And this, I'm going to do it just like it did. It said, and it went down like this, and then it went this way under her desk. Me being an engineer, analytical. He was married to my wife, and I was looking at these glasses. excuse my behind. I got looking down under there. And I said, "Man, we got to get water baptized." I've never been water baptized. So here with the business people, they had this horse trough. We get down to the horse trough. I said, "Man, I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to come up. I'm going to have the Holy Ghost." First they baptized Michelle. She went down. She'd come back up. Boy, she was speaking in tongues and everything. And they put me in there. I went down. I came back up. I said, "What's going on?" So they start revival. They start revival the next day. And when they started the revival, we came, and I was sitting on the edge. The pastor was up in the pulpit with the evangelist while he's preaching. He gets up and walks down there, and I was about this far back, and then he comes down, puts his hand on my shoulder, said, "You still want the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Come with me." We left the service. Went down the basement. He started reading scriptures to me again. And we're reading scriptures together. He said, "Let's pray." And I said, "Okay." And so I'm sitting in a chair praying. All of a sudden, I hear this voice that said, "Get up out of the chair. Get on your knees." I got up out of the chair and got on my knees. This voice led me to the sinner's prayer. I asked God in my heart for the first time. People assumed that I was saved. People were more interested in me getting the Holy Ghost than getting saved. When I got saved, he left me in that basement. Demons came out of me. No one cast demons out of me but the Lord himself. I became a holy roller. I rolled across that basement floor. My shark skin suit was full of dust. My hair, my afro was all over my head. He went up and got my wife. She comes down and she said, "Honey, you been through the mill?" Yes, I have. The Holy Ghost came. And it begins something in me. It begins something in me that there was a God that cared for me, a God that loved me. When I was yet a sinner, he was a God that washed over me. And there was something in me that began to burn in my soul to love my Lord, my God. I loved him with all my heart, and I loved him with all my strength and all my might. I loved my God. There was a God who cared for me when I yet was a sinner. And when that love got in me, it began to change my life. It will change your life if you just love God. If you know how much he loves you, you can love him back the same way. There was a love that came in me that I could not love. And I told you what kind of man I was, but after we got saved like that, he picked me up, moved me south, and put me in a white church. A church of God. I'm away from my notes. But it was something that miraculous. I knew that I wasn't the same man. I knew that I was new. I knew something has happened in me. But yet there was something still in me that I didn't want in me. But there was something in me that I really did not know who was in me, who kept speaking to me. There's somebody in you that speaks to you that sometimes you don't know who it is. But it's the Holy Spirit. There was something came in me. Where did I get this love? Where was it coming from? It wasn't there before, but I had something on the other side trying to fight this love. You don't need to be in this white church. But all of a sudden, you know, this love comes, and I begin to love people. I began to look past myself, and the Word of God started to get alive to me. And see, I had advantage over a lot of Christians because I didn't know nothing. I had no crazy doctrines. I had the Holy Ghost. And I wasn't a dummy, even though the devil was telling me a dummy. I was a dummy. But let me tell you, if the devil tells you you're a dummy, guess what? He's the father of lies. So he's telling you just the opposite of what you are. I like for him to accuse me. Helps me figure out who I am. Come on now. Amen. But he transformed my life. He transformed my life. I didn't know the Ten Commandments. But I knew there was only one God. I knew that I had to love my mother and my father. I knew that I couldn't steal. I knew I couldn't kill. I knew I couldn't have false witnesses. I knew I couldn't covet my neighbor's wife. I knew these things because something came in me. Amen. The law of God came. The law of God made its residence. The law of God made its residence in me. Amen. When Jesus fulfilled the law, he came in us, and we become the fulfiller of the law. We come to others and bring them the righteousness of Christ. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness. I became a law unto all mankind. Amen. He said, I will write my law upon your stony heart. I will write my law in your mind. I became the law of God. Yes. Yes. And we keep saying, I'm not under the law. Let me tell you, I'm not under the law. I am the fulfillment of the law. Y'all don't understand what he did. You don't understand what God did for us. We need to know what God is doing. We need to know what he's doing in this last hour. Whew, don't get me all excited in here. Amen. But the Lord began to speak to me again at the first of the year, about 2018. And the word life in the Hebrew is chai. And the numerical value in the Hebrew numerical system for the word life is 18. And 2018 is a year of life. And he said that John 10:10 will come to this fullness in this hour. He says, I am going to give life to my people that will be overflowing. It will not just be abundant life, but it'll be abundant life to the overflow. And he says, on the other side, the thief is going to steal like he's never stolen before. He's going to kill like he's never killed before. Darkness is going to come to his height, and the light is going to come to the height. He said in this year, he said, in my church, in the last few decades, there has been three rivers. There's been a river of life, and a river of darkness, and a river of lukewarmness. And he says, sir, in this last day, in 2018, there will come down to be only two rivers. He says, I will dry up the river of lukewarmness. He said, I have spared my people, those that were lukewarm. I send them my grace. I love them and trying to move them where they are. But the iniquities of their lives have come to the top. And now I will spew them out. He says, I am releasing my grace and my mercy on darkness, and I'm releasing my mercy and grace on the light. Amen. For those in the middle, they shall perish. Amen. It's time that we get on fire and burning for the Lord God. It's time that we begin to get out in the streets. We got 5 years, according to Nancy's prophecy, to fulfill the call of this last day revival. How many of you having a problem with the Sabbath? This is what God, he tells us in the Hebrews that we're not to worry about the days and the calendars and all the feasts and all these things. He's saying that we must enter into his rest. Hebrews 4:9 says that there's a rest that remains for man. And he was talking about the seventh day. When God created the earth, he created in how many days? 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. On the sixth day, what did it say? There was a morning and an evening. What did he say about the seventh day? Seventh day God rested. It didn't have a morning. It didn't have an ending. And he says today that there remains a rest for man. Now, when God created Adam, he created him in the sixth day. And he named all the animals and done all that to care for them. And God took him out of the sixth day and put him in the seventh. He put him in the garden. If you read Hebrews about the rest, it says that Jesus was slain before the foundations. God has a plan for man. God ceased from his works. He brought Adam and put him in the garden. Now, what was in the garden? There were trees to eat of. And out of that garden, every river came out of that garden. Life flowed out of that garden into the sixth day. It flowed out in the sixth day. But Adam, he had the ability to be in the seventh day and be in the sixth day at the same time. See, anything done on the earth, God's not going to do it again. God said it was finished. And he took Adam and put him in that place of authority to take dominion and authority. He says, every work is going to be done. It's going to be done by you, but you can rest in that. Amen. See, I can rest in my salvation. See, but they had in that, also in that garden was a tree of life. And there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened after Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree? God removed them out of the seventh day. Now, what was the seventh? The seventh day was eternity. He moved him out of eternity. Adam was never to die. His offspring were never to die. So he moved him out of the seventh day and put him in the sixth. And he said, put the angels in front of the seventh day and not let them back in. Because they would eat from the tree of life. And they would live forever in a fallen state. So, they had an opportunity to eat from the tree of life. And so, we look at scripture now. They said the tree of life is in heaven. In Revelation, it tells us three times that the tree of life is in heaven. Tree of Life, 2018, the life of God. Now you got to hear this. God said, if we let them back in the garden, they would eat of the tree of life and they would live. Why did he let them back in the garden to eat? For they could live. Because they had to have a perfect sacrifice for their sin. Abraham had the idea. God told him, go sacrifice your son. And so Abraham, loving the God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind, took his son to Mount Moriah, took him up there, to sacrifice him, and told his son that God will supply a sacrifice. Isaac could not be sacrificed for the sin of man. Why couldn't? Why? He wasn't perfect. He was born in sin. He could not kill his son. God would not. It would have been an unacceptable sacrifice. A goat was a better sacrifice than man. I said a goat was a better sacrifice than man. See, God offered the first sacrifice for men. You know, we're talking about the old law. I mean, we're talking about the ancient law, Moses, amen? But there were before the sacrifice that Moses was told to give, there were sacrifices from the day that Adam and Eve fell up to this time. We know that Noah offered up a sacrifice. They gave him the clean animals to offer up alive sacrifices to please God because of their sin. And we know that these sacrifices only were temporary. They could not save man. They were a shadow of the things to come. The law, all it was, is a shadow of the thing that's more excellent. It's on the way that's here now. And God had to come. Jesus is Emmanuel. Amen. He is God. God came himself. He was the only perfect sacrifice. Jesus said it himself, no man's good but the Father. Am I making any sense? And he says, now there remains to this day a rest for man. There is a place of eternal resting place for man, not just in heaven. God did not make us to live in heaven. He made us to live here on earth. When everything is restored and back to its, there will be a new heaven, a new earth that will come down, and man will be on earth, not in heaven. We're only going to spend a time in heaven. Man is made for, we have dominion and authority and power over the earth. We have, let me tell you, sickness, disease, cancer, I'm not afraid of it. It has no authority over my body. Amen. Diabetes has no authority over my body. I'm no longer a diabetic. I don't live that way. The thing that I fear is the doubt and unbelief. Amen. See, God has already, when he said it was finished, he said Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth. It was finished then. We had to walk through it. Man had to walk through all this stuff, what God already made preservation before the foundations of earth. See, I believe that. And that's why I love my God. When I was yet a sinner. How? Why would he do that for me? Because he did it before he even created the earth. God loves us so much. Now, think about that. Before you was even a twinkle in your daddy's eye, or the dream of your mama, God already made provision for you. There's a destiny and a future for us. There's a hope, amen. There's a hope. A hope deferred makes a heart sick. But a hope realized is what? A tree of life. Where is a tree of life? It's in our hope. Woo, glory to God. Amen. See, we can eat of that tree of life and have eternal life. See, Jesus says that we can't have no, we'll have no part of him. We'll have no eternal life unless we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. He is the tree of life. The tree of life was taken out of the earth and went to heaven, and the tree of life came back to earth and made provision that we can eat from the tree of life that's back in heaven again. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Awesome thing, amen. See, the seventh day has nothing to do with a day. It has to do with a place. It has to do with a place. There's a place called there. There's a place called there. There's a place that God has made provisions for man to enter in to a rest that is now still ready for man. When you get a report of cancer, step into that eternal place. Eat of the tree of life, knowing that you cannot die, knowing that you're going to live forever. Woo, glory to God. Amen. See, God's been doing supernatural in the church. People are getting healed of cancer. Michelle's brother, amen, he was diagnosed with a rare bone cancer. Only prevalent in the African-American race. And when he got it, you saw the fear come upon him. And so he was vulnerable. He opened himself up. You could see the fear. And he was walking it out, trying to walk it out, trying to say the right things, but yet you could see it in him, couldn't you, Michelle? It was just there. And God had me one day just to text him. Exodus 14:4. 14:4. It says, I will fight your battles. Be silent.
Yes.
Praise you, God. He texted me back and said, I just read it in the Message Bible. It told me to shut up. And I said, can you imagine? Could you imagine us charismatics walking around Jericho? Shut your mouth. Well, don't he know I got the word of God in my mouth? I'll call this wall down. It'll come down right now. I'll speak the word. It'll come down. Sometimes God just wants us to shut up and enter into that place of rest. He wants us to know that he's a God that loves us, that we have to learn how to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. And the other way around too works. We got to do it, amen? And when we do, he's come. One of my spiritual sons and his son and their family is having an uproar. He's in his teen years and going through some things. And so they come over to the house and wanted me to talk to him and counsel with him. And he called me. His son called me. I said, okay, I'll talk to your dad too. And so they came over and he was upset. He said, I hate my daddy. Maybe I just need to go die. And man, all these bad confessions and all this. And we're sitting there and there's something about loving God, loving fathers. God is bringing fathers back to the top. Amen. Fathers have to begin to take their place. Old men got to dream dreams again, that our young men will have vision. Our young men don't have vision because our fathers have not been fathers. And our fathers will become fathers when we begin to love our fathers like they should be loved, even though they're not what they're supposed to be, like Michelle said. It makes a difference. It is the kingdom. It is the things that God has brought us to. Amen. It's a new way. Amen. The church is going to come to that place. Amen. Revival is here. Amen. Revival is here. Revival is where your doubt and unbelief ceases. You ain't hear me. Your revival is where your doubt and unbelief ceases. Yes. Woo, I like that. I'll write that. That's straight from the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where we got to begin to pray hard against doubt and unbelief. We had a young, he was an older fella in a church that was sick, and we were all praying for him, and every time you see him, he said, I'm the healed of the Lord. He had a lung disorder, and we thought it was COPD. I guess that's the way it is. So we were praying against that, but he got worse and worse, and we found out later that they misdiagnosed him. And we were praying over him. We're praying for his healing. And he's getting weaker and weaker. And one of my pastors said, you know, you think we might be holding him here? I said, you know, you might be right. And so I got Pastor Michelle, myself, and we went over to visit him. And I said, Bruce and Cornelia, I said, if I've been holding you here, forgive me. But I want to tell you one thing, that sickness or whatever this is not going to kill you. I said, God's given you the authority in him that you can step over when you're ready. But this disease is not going to kill you. And said, I'm not going to hold you here. We're going to pray according to your faith. You tell us how to pray, and the church will pray that way. I said, I will not hold you here. I will not take that responsibility. Much as I love you, you're like my brother. But I want to let you know, it's not the lack of faith that you will step out of here. It'd be the lack of faith you let it take you out of here. You just got to make up your mind ready. You're ready to go. A few days later, Michelle and I was back over there, and the Cubs were playing in the World Series. And he's a Cub fan from Chicago area. He's watching the game. He was just, you know, really weak. And his wife said, "Bruce, you just want to lay down, get you up in the bed." And the hospice nurse was there, and so got him up in the bed. And he was in a fetal position like this, and his voice was very weak. You couldn't hear. You had to really get close to him to hear. He raised up and he said, just like this, 1027! And his wife said, what'd you say? He said, 1027. He was a truck driver. 1027 means I'm changing frequencies. I'm changing channels. Glory to God. Woo! The ultimate healing, amen? The ultimate rest of God. The ultimate loving your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Love God! Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Love God! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! My watch stopped because I didn't bring my battery charger for it. But it looks like my 45's up. I said, I'm not going to preach past what I'm supposed to. So we're going to have some time just to open up. Anything you have to question, to ask us. One thing we have done, we're doing. I got so many preachers in my church. And I used to get upset. And the prophet would come and say, you're going to raise them up and send them out. I said, God, I want to keep them.